Now, this week, I think you'd agree it's all been about the Commonwealth Bank after the Four Corners Fairfax investigation into the bank's insurance arm, Cominsure. But it's not the only bank under scrutiny. Another quite titanic struggle is about to play out in the public eye when ASIC, the regulator, the Australian Securities and Investment Corporation, follows through on their federal court lawsuit against the ANZ Banking Group over allegations of rigging the benchmark price for interest rates. Now, this is the biggest lawsuit ASIC has ever filed, and the ANZ, under the chairmanship of David Gonski, is apparently preparing for battle. This isn't unusual in the sense that some of the big banks in the UK and the US have been caught for similar actions over the past few years by their regulators. But they've usually paid the eye-wateringly high fines and moved on. ANZ was apparently willing to do this, but ASIC also wanted an admission of guilt related to public changes of culture. So there are pretty high stakes at play. And joining me to discuss the implications is Ian Verinder, the ABC's business editor. Good morning, Ian.
Morning, Geraldine.
As I said, the other banks have paid out in the Northern Hemisphere $237 billion worth of fines over the banking, the LIBOR rate and so on and so forth. Why is the ABC, the ANZ not following suit?
Well, those cases throughout Europe and North America, by the way, were fought through the courts. The evidence was brought to the courts. This is the first time that we've had a case in Australia along these lines. Deutsche Bank alone paid out $2.5 billion, and it wasn't just that those banks were caught for manipulating interest rates. There are various cases where they've been caught for manipulating foreign exchange rates, manipulating gold prices. I mean, it's pretty extraordinary stuff. Now, in Australia, we've been a little late to the party, and this case particularly relates to activities that took place between March 2010 and May 2012. But it's worth noting that of the 14 or so banks that were involved in setting interest rates on a daily basis in Australia, three of them already have paid out you could call them fines. Bank of Scotland, $1.6 million, UBS, $1 million, and BNP Paribas, another $1 million. They weren't called fines, though. They were voluntary contributions to financial literacy programs. But they were caught doing the same kind of thing, but no admission of guilt.
Whereas we did, and at the time, I walked past the television set and saw Greg Medcraft, the head of ASIC, the lawyer, saying to a Senate inquiry, I think it was, House of Representative inquiry, the quick way for them to do it is to plead guilty.
Yeah.
It was a very bold statement, and that's all related to this, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, he had run up against enormous roadblocks from the ANZ in particular, but all the banks. I mean, there's a lot of other banks that are under investigation for this here, but the ANZ is the star case, I guess, at the moment. It's the case they've brought forward. And the ANZ were not making his life or ASIC's task any easier. They were putting up a lot of opposition. Now, the ANZ in November 2014 stood aside seven of its employees, and these are the people who are involved in the actual money market rate.
This is their global markets themselves. Trading division.
Yeah.
With some very salty language.
That's right. Now, of those seven that were stood aside back then, three have since been dismissed, but not over anything related to rigging market rates. The head of the division, Etienne Alexou, was stood aside, sacked, in fact, for what was known as what was called lewd and explicit communication. Since then, there have been allegations of personal impropriety and so forth from him about other members of the bank and so forth. So it's getting quite nasty and quite dirty on many levels.
And what sort of fines might we be talking about here?
Well, one of the reports indicated that the ANZ had been prepared to pay a $50 million fine, that this had been negotiated with ASIC, but they were not prepared to make an admission of guilt, and that's what it got down to. Now, but a $50 million fine, you compare that to some of the fines from overseas: Deutsche Bank, $2.5 billion, UBS, $1.5 billion, Barclays, $300 million, it pales into insignificance.
Well, it does, but then again, I thought our banks had basically dodged a lot of those excesses. cases and that we weren't dealing with anything like that, and that was to our credit.
It's the same kind of thing, though. It's manipulating the interest rate market. And, you know, it might sound a little obscure and obtuse, but this affects each and every one of us, every business in the country, every consumer in the country. If you're paying more for your loans than you need to be, you know, this is the bank's orchestrating a system whereby they make money at our expense.
This business of admitting guilt perceived guilt is to do with changing banking culture, isn't it? Which is what Greg Medcraft is saying. He's trying to make a public case, and he's putting an enormous amount of his reputation on this. He might have the backing of a lot of people, you know, looking on.
I'd say so. But look, this is going to be a very, very difficult case to prove. There are two issues here. One is unconscionable conduct, and the other is market manipulation. And both of those are very, very difficult to prove in a court of law. The other thing, too, is that this, if found guilty, the bank could face problems with its banking license. The government and the banking regulator may put restrictions on ANZ's banking license.
Right.
And this is why it's such a high-stakes game, why they refuse to admit any kind of guilt.
I see. Because, in fact, Patrick Durkin, writing in the AFR, he had this very, quoting unnamed sources, that Shane Elliott, the new head who replaced Mike Smith, wanted to settle the case, but it was the board that had resisted. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, that's what the story is that's going around. But for that very reason, that they do not want to risk some kind of restriction on the banking license or their activities, because that will impact on profits, and that will impact on the banks. I mean, look, this is going to have an enormous reputational effect on the bank as it goes through the courts. So you would imagine that they would want to settle it quickly and get it out of the way, because it does sound like a very obscure kind of case. But if this goes through the courts, and the kind of language that has been revealed in some of these recorded telephone conversations is put out into
the public domain,
it won't look good on them for them at all.
And again, the reports are that ASIC has assembled this big war chest, up to $88 million to fight this. And of course, Medcraft has been accused of not tackling some of the low-hanging fruit. So this is very, very high-hanging fruit, isn't it?
You know, publicly, ASIC has a very good record of prosecuting wrongdoing within the corporate sector. But you could also argue that ASIC only goes after the easy cases. It has rarely taken on big, difficult cases. And in the past, when it has, it's generally failed. Now, I don't think failure on this kind of issue is a bad thing for ASIC. I think they really need to get on the front foot and start enforcing the law and get out the message out into the corporate world that this kind of behaviour is not tolerated.
Ian Verinder, thanks very much indeed for coming back.
Thanks, Geraldine.
And Ian is the ABC's business editor, and we'll keep a close watch on that story, see whether it is settled.